We have anyone that speaks fluent Spanish or can say a sentence in Spanish? But that's all you know, Donnie. Donnie told me that to speak Spanish, you just put a Y on everything. Si, go, e, hope, you know. Is that still working for you?
Talk loud and shake your hands.
Talk loud and shake your hands. Anybody speak Spanish? One sentence. Okay.
Where say that. Well,
all right, say that one more time. Okay. Now, how many of you knew what she said? A couple of you. You speak Spanish, Larry? Give me some. Make it good. Make it good. Sorry. Think about it for a minute. You speak Spanish.
If we had the children in here, they could.
Oh, I know that. Victoria, give me a sentence. Okay. Y'all know what you said? Well, how'd y'all know that? Y'all don't even speak Spanish. Makinos. You got it, Larry? All right. Maybe it'll come to you before the end of the service. All right. Now, most of us in this room, like I said last Sunday, we only know Callan's English. Okay? We don't know Spanish. You get around somebody, just like when you said what you said, if you hadn't followed it up with English and helping us to understand what in the world was being said, we wouldn't have known anything that was said. Sorry. Same thing with Victoria. How many of us speak a language in love that people don't understand? Over the next few weeks, we're going to cover the five love languages. And just understanding. And I believe that everyone has a primary love language, that somehow, some way, love is communicated to you. Now, I recognize on February 23rd, Ike will be here preaching, but we'll continue into, I think it's March 1st and then March the 8th that we'll wrap up. And this is something been around forever. How many of you know what your love language is? All right, two or three of you. All right, well, you're in for a surprise. Some of you have an assumption in relationship to what your love language is. And this is not just applicable between the husband and wife, but also parents to children, the rest of your family. Let me ask you a question. What is your children's love language? What is your mate? What is yours? Family members. This can work on a multitude of levels. Because what we need to do is learn to be able to speak a language where people can understand. Because yours might be quality time, but you think, hey, I'm doing acts of service. She doesn't appreciate me, and I washed the dishes and ran the vacuum cleaner. Well, if her love language is not acts of service, forget it. She's not going to be impressed with it. That's not going to happen. Because her love language is quality time. That means that you sacrifice, you do whatever needs to be done to spend time with her. It's something how Jesus utilized the beauty of speaking a language that people could understand in the scriptures. This morning, we're going to focus on affirming words, affirmation. Now, let me tell you this, your ultimate affirmation is only going to come from the Lord. We will only affirm each other to a certain degree because there, again, that's the way we're made. God created within us a vacuum, a void that he can only speak and only affirm us. And so many times we get frustrated in the marriage relationship because we're looking for affirmation from a mate to the degree that only God can give that to us, and we get frustrated. Well, we've got to learn that focusing on our walk and our relationship with him is first and foremost, and that'll help us tremendously. But words of affirmation, affirming each other, and pray over these next few weeks that God will really reveal to you what your love language is. I've got a son right now. His love language is gift giving. And when he was growing up, I could buy him a 25-cent pack of gum. Can't do that today, but I could back when he was a child. And I could walk in the house and say, hey, here's a pack of gum. A pack of gum? Man, Dad, you really love me. And I would say, I wish the other three kids were like that. But that doesn't always happen. Then there's acts of service, affirming one another, words of affirmation, quality time, gift giving. How many of you think your love language is gift giving? Well, I love to get gifts. Yeah, I know we all like to get gifts, but that doesn't mean that you have, that is your love language and gift giving. But this morning, we're going to key in on words of affirmation and how can we affirm one another. It's good for our church family. Because when you walk in this building, what is your level of commitment? What are you here for today? Just show up because that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday morning? Or did you come in this place because you want to love on somebody and minister to them? And knowing your church family, knowing people around you, that this is what really encourages them and strengthens them, and this is how I minister to them by these love languages. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're constantly affirming us in things that you say in the Word, things you've done. I pray this morning that you, by the power of your Spirit, will speak into our lives and help us as we go about our daily routine to minister one to another. You desire for us to affirm each other by the things that we say, the things that we do, not only in words, but in actions and deeds. And so, Lord, get glory to yourself. For someone in this room today that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, may this be the day they give their heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Sometimes we don't really stop and think about what comes out of here. We don't stop and think about what comes in here or goes in here. And we have to take into consideration, my marriage relationship is failing, preacher. Okay? This is something that you can learn that can be helpful for. Words of affirmation are a way to encourage people and to affirm them by the things you say. It means supporting the value of something or someone. It is yes, both in attitude and deed. Affirmation is a positive act that helps to give confidence and a sense of being supported. It gives voice to goals and hopes, and it strengthens resolve. Now, in your marriage relationship, within your family unit, how do you affirm one another? What are some things that you can say to each other that will minister grace to the hearer, that will be supportive, will be helpful? Well, you know, preacher, is that really important? Sure it is. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14 says, and this is God speaking into his life, and I've quoted this many, many times to people that are struggling, because I don't think God likes me. I don't think God cares for me. Listen to these words. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end." In other words, that's to say, hey, listen, I'm giving you hope for the future. "Then shall you call upon me and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Those are affirming words that God is affirming a relationship with us. He's affirming the fact that he is ever present. He's always there. He is there for you and I to be encouraged in our own heart and life, even when we're feeling lonely and discouraged and aggravated over life itself. These are some examples of Jesus giving affirming words. Matthew chapter 11, verse 9, 10, and 11. He said, "Verily I say unto you, among them are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding is that he is least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. And for the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." You know what he was saying? First of all, he was saying, hey, he's more than a prophet. He was affirming him to other people. You know, some of the greatest affirmation that you and I will ever get when it comes to words is really by an indirect way. Don't you love it when somebody compliments you to somebody else about you? And then that other person comes up and says, "You know what? You know what I heard about you the other day?" Like, what? What'd you hear? How does it make you feel when somebody compliments you to somebody else? Let me ask you a question as a mate. How does it make you feel when your mate compliments you to somebody else, and that word comes back to you. Where you might find out, ladies, that your husband said to one of his friends, "My wife's a great woman. And she's a great cook. And she is so committed to our family. And I trust her." That guy comes back and gives you that report. And you're like, wow. Man, that makes us feel good, doesn't it? We don't get those kind of things a whole lot. We don't get too many attaboys in life, especially in the marriage relationship. And after you've been married for a while, we stop that stuff. Mark Twain said, "I could live a month or 2 months on one compliment." And what does a compliment mean to you and I? Jesus was saying this about John the Baptist in an indirect way. He was affirming him as a strong man and a prophet and a man that was a great man. Even though he wasn't saying those things directly to him in a roundabout way, he was. Or Jesus, when Jesus heard the centurion in Luke chapter 7, when the centurion said, "Listen, I want you to heal my servant." And even though Jesus was not geographically in the presence of that person, and without being present with him, he spoke those words and healing came to him. And Jesus said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." What was he doing? He was affirming the faith of the centurion. Matthew chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus was speaking to the disciples and to the crowd, and he looked at them and said, "Hey, you know what? You're my family." Does it affirm you and I today to know that we're part of the family of God? That's big stuff. I'm greatly encouraged and affirmed over the fact that God chose to create me in his image. I'm affirmed over the fact that God desires to have fellowship with me. And just commune with me as a father and a son. I'm affirmed in my heart over the fact that God speaks to me through his word. I'm affirmed over the fact that Jesus desires to be like me. Didn't he take on the form of a human man when he came to planet Earth? Sure he did. And to think that he has sent the Spirit of God to guide me and he lives within me. I don't know about you, but man, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? That affirms you and I in a walk in a relationship with him. And over again throughout the scriptures that God ministered to people and the responsibility that he's delegated you and I to affirm each other. First of all, just look at some affirming words. Number one, complimentary words. Complimentary words. Now, somebody said the object of love is not getting something you want, but doing something for the well-being of the one that you love. Now, how many of you are very, very complimentary to other people? And somebody does something for you, especially your mate, that you're quick to compliment them. Here's some examples. "Hey, you look nice today in that dress." Now, you might have to help her up off the floor. She passed out for a moment over the fact that she ain't never heard you say that. And let me say this. Make sure that's your wife, men, not some other man's wife. It's kind of like one Sunday morning, I'm back here, and this lady comes through, and I recognize them. People get glasses, they change hair color, or they cut hair off. You know, I recognize them, just very observant. And this lady comes through, and she had dyed her hair a different color. Well, her husband's standing right behind her. And I looked at her, and I said, "Oh, your hair looks nice. I like that style and the color." She goes, "Thank you." And she turned around and looked at him, and he said, "Thanks, preacher. I hadn't even noticed." I felt like saying, "Hey, bud, you need to pay attention to your wife and do what I just did to make a better relationship here." But I didn't say that. I was thinking that. What about this? "I really appreciate the things that you do for me." In the marriage relationship, what have you started taking for granted? She's always going to be there. She's always going to do this. She's always going to do that. She's always going to cook. She's always going to clean. She's always going to wash my clothes. She's always. And you don't ever say a word. How many of you men in this room, you eat great meals? I appreciate my wife for the fact that every Sunday afternoon, we don't eat leftovers. We do eat leftovers. We just don't eat leftovers on Sunday afternoon. My wife always has a hot meal, and it's in the oven waiting on us to get home, and it's a chicken casserole. You can look at me and tell that my wife's a good cook. But just being appreciative. Married 40 years this coming May. Do you ever take that for granted? Sure. But I'm trying to remember and get this through my thick skull that on Sunday afternoon, after I have finished indulging myself in such a wonderful meal, that I look at her and say, thank you for doing that. You know, those kind of things won't hurt if we practice them. You ever look at your mate and say, listen, honey, I want you to know that I'm thankful for you. Ladies, do you ever look at your husband and say, you know what? I'm thankful for the fact that you go to work every day. Thank God you're not a lazy couch potato that doesn't do anything. How about your children expressing that love language of affirming words? Now, there again, if affirming words is not your gift, your love gift, your language, that's not going to mean a whole lot to you. But whether it means anything or not, we ought to be doing that anyway. Amen. See, one of the ways that you can encourage the preacher when he's preaching is to say, amen, preacher! Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen! That was it. You want to fire a preacher up and you want to throw gas on him, say amen and hallelujah. That'll get him going.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Verbal compliments are powerful communicators of love. But it's so easy to forget. Remember, the object of love is not getting something you want, but doing something for the well-being of the one you love. It's a fact. However, that when we receive affirming words, we are far more likely to be motivated to reciprocate and do something our spouse desires. If affirming words of your love language, and you have done something that deserves being affirmed, and your wife says those things to you, what's that going to do to your old heart? And you're going to say, you know what, man, she appreciated that so much, I'm going to look for something else to do. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to cook her breakfast. I'm going to do something for her to minister her on the level that speaks to her heart. It's like speaking Spanish and not understanding. There's complimentary words. Secondly, there are encouraging words. Now, let me say this. Encourage means to inspire courage. And so bathe this in prayer. Because our responsibility as a husband and wife and as parents is to make our mates and our children a success. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is by speaking their love language, especially if it's affirming words or words of affirmation. Now, let me say this. Sometimes mates become fearful. And they take the responsibility upon themselves under the guise of encouraging words to try to help somebody to be a success. But I can tell you sometimes that only comes across as nagging. Can I say something to you, parents? Be careful how you affirm your children by the things that you say. Because sometimes you will do that out of fear. And your fear will motivate you to say some things to them where you're always trying to change them and force them into your mold because you're scared they're going to turn out the way you did. That's encouraging. Amen. Harold Vaughn said the other day at the prayer advance, he said, you know what? He said, we look at the young generation. We said, man, they dress weird. They act weird. You know, they are weird. But he said, let me ask you a question. Do you think your parents ever thought you were weird? Do you think that you ever dressed weird and you acted weird? Sure. Sure. Man, I had hair down to here. My parents were like, you need to get your hair cut. I said, you just don't have a clue. I'm glad Jared goes to a military school. Won't have to worry about that issue. But encouraging words, not nagging words. Be careful what you say. And make sure that they are in words that lift up. You know, I've met couples over the years and they come in for counseling and immediately the wife or the husband will attack the mate and begin to say things about them in my presence that's really embarrassing. And they say, well, I'm just trying to help them. Well, I'm sorry, the way you're doing it is not helping. And basically what you're saying is, I'm embarrassed of him or her, and my objective is to change them. And so I'll do whatever needs to be done in speaking into their life to make them the way that I think they ought to be. Let me ask you a question, ladies. Any of you ladies embarrassed of your husband? Any of you men embarrassed of your wife? And in a subtle way, you will offer out affirming words to try to help them to be better. And in essence, what you're trying to do is change them to make yourself look better. And God knows the intents of our hearts and our motives. Well, preacher, he wasn't that way when I married him. Too bad. Thank God for what you got. And learn to rest and be content with what God's given you. That God knew exactly what you needed. He might not be exactly what you want, but if you got him, you got him. Amen? And learn to be content in that. Encouraging words help us to overcome insecurities in life. I mean, Jesus' ministry, my friends, was always about encouraging people. The biggest part of it. Yeah, there were direct things that he said to people, but in light of that, it was always to build up. You know, sometimes people just need us to come up alongside them to help them in insecurities in life. I mean, who in this room has not had some level of insecurity in their lifetime? Their brother said right here, hey, I don't like the dark. But isn't it a blessing to know that when you're in the dark, somebody else is there with you? Believe me, been many times when I've come over here, and I come over here every Saturday night, I come over here every Sunday morning, I don't cut any lights on, I walk through this place, and sometimes it's pitch black in some of the places that I go, and I'm very thankful to say, okay, Jesus. If somebody jumps out, you take them and I'll run. Amen. I'll be praying for you. Encouraging words. And sometimes we have the ability in speaking into somebody's life to release untapped resources because people do not feel good about themselves. And so they just need somebody to come up alongside of them and say, hey, you can do it, man. You can do it. Complimentary words, encouraging words. Ooh, kind words. 1 Corinthians 13 said love is kind. That means you treat people nice. Hey, when you go to make a call this week, whether it's DirecTV or Dish or Verizon, AT&T, if it's your bank, your doctor, whoever, speak kind words. How many of you enjoy picking up the phone and having somebody on the other end that you know they had nails for breakfast and they're ready to tear into you over something that doesn't mean a hill of beans? And you're just looking for a good fight. You've been looking for it all morning. Here it is. And you go to town. Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, when you get in the heat of the battle with your kids or your mate, and you're going at it, Learn to take that soft tone. Because many times that will disarm people and just being kind. You know what my objective is when I get on the phone with people? Is to kill them with kindness and just be nice. And I'll say to people, I'm going to tell you something. It was a pleasure talking to you today. And I hear the genuineness in their voice when they say back to me, sir, it was a blessing talking to you. How do you handle your mates? Well, they're mean to me all the time. Can I ask you a question? You know, the Bible says we reap what we sow. How nice are you to them? My kids talk to me. They don't have any respect for me. Let me ask you a question. How do you talk to them? Get a tape recorder or some means of being able to record conversation in the home. And record for a day. And listen to how each of you talk to each other. He's so mean to me. She's so disrespectful and mean how she talks to me. It could be because you're not using kind words. What's the old saying? It's not what you say, but how you say it. Do you talk to people the way you want people to talk to you? Well, even I've tried it. I tried it one time 20 years ago. But listen, even when it's tough, you just need to go ahead and do it anyway and keep doing it. Because sooner or later, friends, you cast that bread upon the water, what's going to happen? It's going to come back to you. See, your teenagers are expecting you to chew them up one side and down the other, get all up in their face and be mean, slap the counter and yell and scream. Why don't you try kindness? Isn't it a blessing that Jesus speaks into our lives in such a kind manner? I've never had God say, hey, you little brat, get over here. And there's many of us in this room that if God spoke to us like that, what would we do? Not on your life, bud, I'm gone. And many times that's nothing but a front. We're trying to bully people, manipulate people, and, you know, try to make people do because we're such controllers. Why don't you just learn to act like Jesus in the home with your mates, your children, even people you work with? Just be nice. Even when you come to church. I mean, say amen every once in a while. Amen. Amen. We might get out early this morning. Amen. Amen. I feel so good, don't y'all? Y'all look so nice today, amen. Y'all look better this week than you did last week. And last of all, non-manipulative words. Ooh. Bible says that this little member right here has the power of life and death. Some of you are very articulate. And you're very good with that tongue. And it's been a many a time when you had that thing out just slicing. And you loved every minute because you were just destroying somebody in front of you. And it felt so good. You ever had somebody try to play a guilt trip on you? You see, affirming words are not manipulative. Somebody said love makes requests, not demands. Well, his wife made him an apple pie. And he loved it. Pretty much ate the whole thing by himself. Well, he came back 18 years later and said, you know, that pie you made 18 years ago, and the reason why I remember it so is because that's when our daughter was born. Would you not make one of those? Or is it going to be another 18 years for me to get one. Now, how encouraging would that be? Those are manipulative words. Ladies, have you ever used this one? If somebody doesn't get out there and clean the gutters out, they're going to fall off the house. What are you really saying? Do your job, man. Hey, old lady, I need an apple pie. Get up off your duff and make me one. I ain't hear too many amens on that one. But what if your husband came in and said, honey, I want to tell you something. It's been a while since you made me one of those apple pies, but man, I love those things. Is there any way that you could make one of those for me? Because I appreciate so much the fact that you're a great cook. Could you do that? Some women would stumble all over themselves. They'd jump in a car and run the food line to get all the ingredients to make sure that Brutus had his apple pie before the sun went down. You know why? Because you want to minister to your man. And you know that one of the greatest ways to minister to a man's heart is through his stomach. See, when you affirm people by words, you key in on character qualities and you compliment them on what you see in them, not attack them for what they're not doing. Most of the time in marriage counseling, you know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get everything that the other mate is not doing. What I've learned over the years, if there's going to be success in counseling with couples, quit pointing your finger at the other person and start pointing the finger at yourself and give me a list of everything that you've done to bring about the downfall in the marriage relationship. And if you can ever get the mate off their focus, off of the other person and put it on themselves to really show where the deficiency is, you're going to get some help. Don't try to manipulate each other. Now, men will do this in the physical relationship, and we will guilt our wives to death. If you're half the wife you're supposed to do, this is the Bible says you're supposed to. And vice versa. In most cases, sex don't. Yes, I said sex, S-E-X, all right? In case you didn't know how to spell it. There's always one in every crowd. All right, let's pray, go home. Boy, this got off the rails, didn't it? But usually, I mean, seriously, men get all bent out of shape. And many times, hey, that's one of the first things that a wife is going to say, not on your life, bozo. You don't treat me right? Not tonight. Or 10 years from now. And vice versa. And we get in that cycle. Quit trying to manipulate each other. Any of you have parents that speak manipulative words in your life and make you feel guilty because you don't do thus and such? You ever do that with your children? I want your room clean. And if you don't get that room clean, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to take your car. You'll never get any money for 20 years. I'm going to throw your cell phone in the river. You're just a bad child. Well, that's really going to motivate them to get up and go do something to please you. You know what? I've learned that force makes hypocrites. You might get a clean room, but you've lost the heart of your child. And same thing with your mates. You might get what you want. I want to clean it up on the outside so I can look good about me when we're in public. And you might get that, but you can forget about having the heart of your husband or your wife because you have tried to manipulate and control. And you've used words and you've used talk And remember, it's powerful. And you've spoken into somebody's life. That which does not affirm them and support them and encourage them and compliment them. Instead of you trying to change them, listen, and I tell wives this all the time, your husband is not your responsibility to change. He's God's responsibility. And by the way, God might know you don't need him to be any different. But preacher, he might be just what you need and vice versa. Preacher, if I just had a different wife. If you had a different wife, it might be 10 times worse. Like somebody said, you look on the other side of the fence and grass looks real green, but you didn't realize it was built over a septic tank, did you? Now, affirming one another. Words of affirmation. It's healthy for church, healthy for marriage relationship, healthy for parent-to-child relationship, and vice versa. Take these things and say, God, is this me? Is this my love language? Is this my mate's love language? Is this my child's love language? What can I do to begin to do those things to affirm the people around me with words? Not using them to manipulate, but to compliment, to be kind, to encourage. Not to make people feel guilty, but to bless them. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I recognize there might be somebody here today who say, preacher, my biggest problem is I don't know the Lord. I'm not saved. I think some of the most encouraging words in the scriptures are John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, over the last 40 years, those words have affirmed in my heart that I got a Father in heaven that cares so much for me. You know what? I feel that sense of indebtedness to do for him because he's done for me. For many years, I thought God was nothing more than a big killjoy that was just waiting for me to do something wrong so he could squish me and laugh at me and poke fun at me and say, you're nothing but the devil. Do you know the Lord? Do you know him to the point that you've asked him to come into your heart and life and give you eternal life? Do you know him to the point and you have a relationship with him that you know for certain that heaven's going to be your home someday when you die? You need help in this thing of communicating love? Or you're a mean-spirited individual and you blame everybody else under the sun, and if so-and-so was better, you'd be better? Or is the Spirit of God said, listen, you need to change your ways. You need to let me take control. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control, kind words, nice words, encouraging words, complimentary words. Father, thank you for the standard that you set in our lives. Thank you for the example of who you are, what you are. But Lord, we can believe you in these days to give us what we need to be lovers of people, not only in word, but also in deed, that we can learn those love languages and communicate on levels where people understand. You always did that and still do it today. And so thank you, Lord, for what you're trying to teach us by the power of your Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand, please?